I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of Welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, you no doubt feel the need for prayer, right? And our nation's need for prayer. Maybe you watched the debates last night and you woke up sick to your stomach. Well, maybe you know that our only hope is Jesus, and we need to be praying. But maybe when you approach your prayer life, you feel a little awkward or disconnected. You're not sure where to go, or maybe you'll lose focus. Is that something that happens with you? Well, first of all, you're not alone. And second is you can grow in your prayer life. You can learn to connect with God in a very intimate way that changes you. And as you pray, you start to see God change things around you. Obviously, you guessed it. We're talking about prayer today, about God's presence and His movement on the earth, talking to another one of my favorite guests, Ann Graham Lotz. It's been a while since I've gotten to chat with her. She's a best-selling author and evangelist, and she's got a brand new book out, The Light of His Presence, Prayers to Draw You Near to the Heart of God. Each day is a different crafted prayer, and it's just beautiful. We've got three copies of Ann's new book to give away. You know the drill. If you listen often enough, you just text the word book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get her on the show. Called the best preacher in the family by her father, Billy Graham, Ann Graham Lotz speaks around the globe with wisdom and authority of years spent studying God's Word. New York Times named Ann one of the five most influential evangelists of her generation. She's been profiled on 60 Minutes and has appeared on other many major media outlets. Her Just Give Me Jesus revivals have been held in more than 30 cities and 12 countries to hundreds of thousands of attendees. She and her late husband, Danny Lotz, have three grown children, three grandchildren. She's the founder and president of Angel Ministries, and she's truly one of my favorite people to talk to. So, Ann, welcome back to the show.
Oh, Susie, thank you so much. It's a pleasure always to talk with you. Thank you.
Always looking forward to our conversation. So, you know this, you've been on plenty of times. We love to start by talking scripture, and I know you're a woman who immerses herself in the Word of God. What have you been sensing these days? Any verses you've been hanging around these days?
Yes, you know, it's so interesting that you put it that way, because I have just parked myself in John 17 for the last couple of months. And it's a prayer that Jesus prayed the night that he was betrayed. And so it's a prayer that he wasn't teaching his disciples to pray. They were overhearing him in private conversation with his father. And there are many things in this prayer that have just blessed me and, deeply blessed me. But the one phrase that I'll give you is in verse 9, when he says, "I pray for them." And he was speaking of his disciples, but then passed to his disciples, those who would believe on him through their word. And so really, Jesus is praying for you and me, Susie. And I think of the way our world is just, it seems to be unraveling, and the natural disasters, the division in our nation, the political upheaval, the anger, the anarchy, the threats that we have from foreign countries. And Jesus said in Matthew 28, "I'll be with you to the end of the age." So not only is he with us at this moment, but he's praying for us. And so that has just blessed me so much. My heart has gone back to that again and again. And of course, I know the Holy Spirit in Romans 8:26 prays for us without words. And there's sometimes I don't have words for my prayers. And I know the Holy Spirit takes my longings, my desires, my fears, and he just puts them, into the words that would be an acceptable prayer and presents them to the Father. But the fact that not only the Holy Spirit is praying for me, but that Jesus himself is praying for me, and that I was actually on his mind the night that he was betrayed. In his omniscience, he has always been thinking about me, and the night he was betrayed, he was not only thinking about me, but praying for me. And that's just where I have rested in the last few months, just so grateful for his prayers.
Wow. As you're talking, Anne, I'm also thinking of the passage in Hebrews, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. You know, we were the joy set before him. It's what we were on his mind that kept him persevering. And I just say, you know, likewise, he needs to be on our mind so we can persevere until he comes again. Right? Wow. Well, I just spoke with Tom Phillips yesterday. He joins us almost, we try to get him on once a month, and he gives us different lessons on revival, and I always love chatting with him. And he was, of course, at the Washington Mall this past weekend, and he said that you were there with Jonathan Kahn. And I'll just tell you, it's going to make you blush, but he said, Anne brought the house down. It was, but I would love to hear just your thoughts on that experience and your sense of what God is saying to our nation.
You know, it was an amazing event. I hesitate to call it an event. We're really praying it would be a movement, you know, just a movement of the Spirit of God. But it was something, and I don't know what I expected as far as a crowd. I went on the first thing. So after Kevin Jessup, who co-led it with Jonathan Kahn, after he greeted everybody, then I was the first speaker. And I honestly thought, Susie, that at that hour, which was about 9:20 in the morning, on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., with all the threats of, you know, the rioting and such, that I didn't think anybody would be in front of me. And and there were tens of thousands of people who had gathered on the mall. In fact, the combined crowd of Franklin's prayer walk and then Jonathan Kahn's crowd, it's estimated it's almost 500,000 people. And and the thing that was stunning is these people came from all over the United States and even from some other countries, and they came seeking the heart of God. So it was a very moving, humbling experience. I felt that, you know, they gave me a time limit, so it was very brief for me. It was very challenging to corral my thoughts and words into just a very brief segment. But God truly blessed it. I spoke from Isaiah 6 when Judah was in crisis and in trouble. Isaiah didn't complain. He didn't point his finger at somebody else. He didn't, you know, feel sorry for himself. He looked up, and he saw the Lord. And Jesus said that Isaiah saw his glory. So the vision that Isaiah had was a vision of the pre-incarnate Son of God, Jesus before Bethlehem. And so I just went through what Isaiah saw, because we're also in crisis. And instead of wringing our hands and blaming somebody else and rioting in the streets, I believe that God's people, actually, I think everybody needs to look up. I think that's one reason God has allowed us to have COVID, to put us in our homes, that we would look up and have a fresh vision of Jesus. And so then I just tried to describe what Isaiah saw, because in light of who Jesus is, then we see ourselves, and then that leads us to repentance and a confession of sin. And then others on the platform, of course, took it at that level. And then Jonathan Kahn, I'll tell you, Susie, I think it was about 11 o'clock that morning, he gave a message that, for those who are listening, you can go to thereturn.org and you can go for these individual messages. You don't have to watch the whole thing. You can go get Jonathan Kahn's message. It was like an Old Testament prophet. The fire came down. It was amazing. And while he was speaking, several times it thundered, and there was no thunderstorm nearby. Just, you know, he stopped at one point and he said, "That's God," you know, and it was really something. It was, and I just pray, you know, only God knows the intents of people's hearts and the prayer that was really going on, but I have to believe that it moved heaven. I have to believe that God has said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from our sin, then he would hear from heaven, forgive us, and heal us. So I'm just praying, you know, that the Lord would hear and answer and return to us, give us a reprieve from the judgment that I believe that we're under. And then I had to break away from the return and run down to the end of the mall to join Franklin. He had asked me to pray in his last, he had 7 prayer stops, and he asked me to pray out loud, lead in prayer at the 7th, which was the last one in front of the Capitol. So I was glad to do that, and he had a large crowd, thousands of people that, you know, followed him from prayer stop to prayer stop. And I pray again that, you know, that God would hear our prayers and see, you know, what else. I don't know that we know what else to do. We've come to the nation's capital, and we've come together as God's people from all different walks of life, nationalities, ethnicities. So when we're not perfect, we didn't do it exactly right, I'm sure, because we're sinners, but we did what we knew to do. And so I pray that God would honor that, the sincerity of our hearts and our desperation for Him, and that He would, Joel 2 says, if we rend our hearts and not our garments, who knows, but that He would come and leave behind a blessing. And so I just pray that God would return to us and bless us. And spare us from the judgment that I believe has begun.
Hmm. I did watch the Jonathan Cahn video today just in prep, just wanted to see it. And you're so right that you hear the thunder and he just stops talking. I mean, it and his voice thundered and he really called it like it was. He did not mince words. And you feel like you're watching a modern day prophet. It was earth shaking. And we're going to pause for a break here in just a moment. But, you know, I have a friend who said, because I feel like God is showing the church what we're made of, because you see this remnant risking their lives really to gather to go, I'm going to pray. But I also hear countless stories, Anne, of families and life groups and churches that are splitting over mask, no mask, over if you vote for them, you can't be my friend. It's like, Lord in heaven, you've got to help us see from an eternal perspective, because we're politicizing everything, you know?
Yes, that's right. And it's time to come together, and it's time to pray, Susie, which, you know, it's interesting, this book, this little book that we're going to be talking about has been in the works for a while, and it just, if you can say, just happened to come out this fall, and I thought, oh my goodness, the Lord has just preordained that I would be able to speak on your show and others and call people to serious prayer and help them in their prayers by giving them some words that might launch them into their own prayers. So, you know, God just has a plan, doesn't he? He's working it.
He sure does. He's so divine and sovereign. We're going to pause here. When we come back, you're going to hear some of the prayers from this book. And one thing Anne admits in the open of her book is prayer used to be a struggle, but you would never know it, because these prayers, I feel like they thunder just like Jonathan Cahn's voice did. Your prayers thunder. They're earth-shaking to me. They're so powerful. We've got three copies of this incredible book to give away. And Graham Blotz' new book, The Light of His Presence, Prayers to Draw You Near to the Heart of God. And if there's ever a day to draw near, it's now. And what happens when we draw near? He draws near. That's a promise. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. If you've got question or comments for Anne, you can text that same number in a separate text, and we will be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Honored to be talking to Anne Graham Lotz today. And again, I just marvel at the timing of God. You know, when we work on a book, it's a year out, sometimes 2 years out. And Anne could not have known, but God knew, that a book on prayer would release right now in the midst of what we're walking through. Her new book is titled The Light of His Presence, Prayers to Draw You Near to the Heart of God. We've got three copies to give away. It's such a beautiful book, powerful prayers. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So Anne, as I said, these prayers, which we're going to read a few of these in a moment here, are so powerful, and yet you say in the introduction that prayer wasn't something that came natural or even easy to you. Say more about that.
No, it's still not in the past tense, Susie. So, you know, I struggle with prayer. There are three areas that I struggle with, and consistency, and I'm talking about set-aside time in prayer, not like all of us pray during the day, you know, as we go through our day, just little quick era prayers and conversations with God, but I'm talking about a set-aside time in prayer, and I've wrestled with consistency and content. What do I say? And then concentration. As soon as I go to pray, I think about what I need to go to the grocery store, what I'm going to wear tomorrow, who I've got to call. You know, it's amazing the distractions. And so, when I was asking the Lord, how can I have victory over this? You know, I know He wants me to pray. He's commanded me to pray. And so, what came to my mind was to write down my prayers. And so, for years, I've written prayers. I don't write them down every day, but when I'm deeply moved, or there's something I just really need to, you know, feel like I need to come to grips with, I'll write down my prayers. And in our ministry, we've offered different prayer initiatives where I've invited other people to pray with me using prayers that I've written as a launch pad for their own. And we've had tens of thousands of people who have joined us in that. And so that caught my attention. And so then I wondered if I publish the prayers, if this would be something God would use to help other people who maybe struggle with prayer too. So I gathered them together, and that's what this little volume is. I did not write it to publish. These are my prayers that I have written personally, that I've used in my own prayer life, that God has helped me to articulate what I was asking of Him. So I've written them down, and they're not, you know, you can pray them certainly, but my prayer is that they would just launch you into your own prayers. And in Scripture, we know we talked briefly about John 17, our Lord's Prayer, and then the Daniel Prayer that I've prayed so many times as a pattern of prayer for our nation, or Paul's prayers in Ephesians 1 and chapter 3. And there's so many prayers in Scripture, David's prayers in the Psalms, you know, that we use as a pattern. Sometimes we use the very words of Scripture, but also the pattern that will help us pray in a way that's meaningful, that has a depth to it, a richness, and a prayer that gets answers. So all of these prayers are wrapped up in Scripture, and I use that as the basis for the prayers, but they also, you know, are on different themes or subjects that for some reason was a burden on my heart at that particular time that I wrote it. And so I'm praying, Susie, that, you know, that publishing these prayers is a little bit like undressing in public, because they're very personal, but that God would use them to help somebody else overcome the struggle that they've had in prayer too.
I'm telling you, it's powerful. So I'm going to just read one, if you don't mind. This one is a prayer for the weary. So friend, if you're weary today, excuse me, I want you to just take a deep breath. I want you to exhale, sit back, and let this in. It's so powerful. Great, perfect high priest, I worship you, the one who understands the feelings of my infirmities. You are tender, gentle, a bruised reed you'll not break, smoking flax you'll not quench. You never grow tired or weary. I confess that sometimes I do feel weary, breakable, lonely as I stand for you and speak out for you when so few others do. You don't blame me for my weariness and weakness. Instead, you sympathize with me. Yet I remember that you said you set the lonely in families. So I thank you for your family, for my Christian brothers and sisters who stand beside me shoulder to shoulder and heart to heart, as together we continue to live for you in this increasingly dark, dangerous, and hostile world. Dear Father God, I ask that you would use me to encourage others and bring into my life those who will do the same for me. Let us build one another up, strengthen one another, so that when the enemy comes in like a flood, assaulting us from every side, on every level, and from every angle, we will stand. With spirits battered, maybe, with hearts wounded, maybe, but with sword raised in victory, may we continue standing firm for the glory of your great name, Jesus. Amen. Wow. I mean, doesn't that just minister to you, hearing those words back to you?
You know, all of us reach those points when we're weary, you know, and I just, you know, thank the Lord that He hears the prayers of His weary servants and gives us strength, renews our strength, so that we can run and not faint. And this is a time when we need supernatural strength. With COVID and the stuff going on politically and racially and personally, you know, we just need His strength, we need His blessing, and I think we need each other, Susie. So, you know, we need to come together. That's another thing that Jesus prayed in John 17, of course, was for unity, and I believe He was really praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit, because when you have the Holy Spirit and I have the Holy Spirit and Jesus, of course, is filled with the Spirit, then we are one. You know, we're made one. We're one with Him as He is one with the Father, and it's because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But I believe there also is the desire for unity among the body of Christ, that we wouldn't be fighting each other or criticizing each other, but we would be loving each other and encouraging each other and building each other up. Because I don't know that we can. I mean, we can do it alone, but it makes it very difficult. So this is the time for us to pray for each other and come together in prayer and just wait and see what God does.
Yeah. You know, I said on our recent share fundraising event, I said it a few times actually, that the opposition, the anti-Christian kind of movement, you know, is to be expected. But what alarms me almost more than that is some of the biblical departure under the guise of Christianity. Do you know what I'm saying? Where, like, really dismantling the word as if it's not the word of God anymore. It's a book of stories or kind of morally anything goes and that kind of thing. That's so alarming. And since that's going on, can't we come together denominationally over things that are biblical, that you can make biblical cases for on either side? You know what? Some of the best speaking events I've ever been a part of are when these different churches in a community that are Bible-based but maybe land differently on some of these secondary issues, but they come together for the salvation of their community, and then they bring in a speaker, host a conference. There's something about where the scripture says, I command a blessing, because they're saying, you know what, we agree about more than we disagree about. So for that purpose, we're coming together. Just say a word, if you would, about that.
Well, I really think that's what the return was about on Saturday. So you've got people from all walks of life, every age, every background. I'm sure there were, you know, probably hundreds of different denominations that were represented, but we were all there for the purpose of seeking God's face and humbling ourselves and turning from our sin and praying for our nation. So, and for the church, because I believe that our nation, Susie, is in the state that it's in because the church is in the state it's in. And we have forsaken God. We have forsaken His word. We've fallen away from the truth. We've substituted our own ideas, and we've become sort of celebrity-driven. And I don't want to get into all this criticism of the church, but I believe we have forsaken just daily Bible reading, applying it to our lives, living it out in obedience. We've forsaken daily prayer, knowing how to pray and get answers to prayer and being sincere and deep in our prayers. We've forsaken obedience, living it out in the marketplace and calling on Jesus, naming His name, you know, out in where they say you can't, but of course you can, and then sharing the gospel. And when people look at us, surely they ought to see something in us, the joy, the peace, the hope that we have in the middle of all this craziness, and they would want to know what the source, what our secret is, and then we tell them about Jesus. So we leave sharing the gospel to the professionals, you know, the evangelist or the pastor or somebody who's hired on staff to do that, and we ourselves, that's our privilege. But the church, I believe, has, you know, we need revival is what we need. We need to wake up, and we need an awakening that only God can send us. So I believe it's the only hope for America. I believe if we don't have that, if we don't have a genuine outpouring of God's Spirit, then I'm not sure there's any real hope for America. I don't see it in Washington. I don't see it in some of these other issues. I know that this election is critically important, but at the same time, I know our hope is in Jesus, and I believe in God's people getting right with God and standing
That's
in
right.
the gap for America.
Judgment starts first in the house of God. We're pausing here, but you know, that is just, again, as Tom Phillips said yesterday, we draw a circle around ourselves and say, revive the person inside the circle. And as God searches our hearts and as we get right and we ask Him to show us our blind spots, revival happens personally, then it can happen corporately. It'll never happen if we keep shaking our fist at everybody else. Talking to Ann Graham Lotz, her beautiful book, The Light of His Presence, Prayers to Draw You Near to the Heart of God. Text book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll read some more from Ann's book when we return. Psalm 91:1 says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our friend Ann Graham Lotz. She's got an incredible new book, and again, I marvel at the goodness, the timing, the sovereignty of God. She wrote this book, she wrote these prayers way back when, and they were compiled not knowing that they would release at a time when we need to be praying most. Title of her book is The Light of His Presence, Prayers to Draw You Near to the Heart of God, and they're just thundering, deep, biblically rich prayers. You can, as I was reading these prayers, I'm like, this woman lives in the Word of God because there's so much of Scripture in them. We've got a few copies to give away. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And I love throughout the book how you have these little breaks, these gorgeous pictures, and then you've got some of the greats, the late greats, you know, A.B. Simpson, Oswald Chambers, Spurgeon. This one, this Spurgeon quote, I would love for you to comment on. And a true prayer is an inventory of needs, a catalog of necessities, an exposure of secret wounds, and a revelation of hidden poverty. Say a word about that.
You know, I think he sort of summed it up, but I also think that true prayer is just dwelling in the presence of God. It's in Exodus when Moses went into the tent of meeting. Do you remember? It's where he met with God face to face, and then Joshua stayed there. And it was not just a prayer place. It was a dwelling place. And so prayer for me, somebody's asked me, well, you know, Ann, what do you think prayer is? And it's not just giving God your shopping list where you tell him all the things you want him to do for you. Or prayer is drawing near to the heart of God. Prayer is getting to know him. I always begin my prayers and my prayer time with Scripture. So I read from his word and then ask him, you know, if there's something that just sort of pops up off the page, or I hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit, and so I'll talk back to God about what he has said and have a conversation with him. And I'm asking him in prayer not just for what I want, but I want to know what he wants. I want to know what's on his heart. And in prayer, God, when we draw near to him, he can confide in us, like he did with Noah in Genesis 6, when Noah was walking with God, and God confided in Noah that he was going to destroy the world, and that's when Noah knew to build the ark. And in Genesis 18, when Abraham was walking with God, and God confided in Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and then that's what triggered Abraham's prayer, and he prayed on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so prayer is drawing so close to the heart of God that not only can you impart to him the burdens that are on your heart, but he imparts to you the burdens that are on his heart, that we might cooperate with him and pray them through and be used in a way to fulfill his own will. So prayer is not just getting things from God. Prayer is getting to know God and drawing near to his heart and discovering what's burdening him, that we might pray and be a part of what he wants to do in our world at this time.
Think about that. He confides in those who fear him. This dear listener wrote in, thank you for continuing the legacy of Jesus and the word which your Father and your Heavenly Father have set before us, including you being transparent with your struggles. Show all of us how great our God is and how much he loves us all, no matter our circumstances. God bless you, Anne, and thank you. So precious.
Yeah.
So, Anne, I don't know how quickly you can find the one prayer for the hardest times. If that's difficult, I can just pray, but read it. But it's in toward the beginning of the book.
You know, the most interesting thing, I've got it right here, but when you asked me about another prayer, I went to look for it, and there are page numbers in the table of contents, but this book does not have page numbers on the pages, which is, that's a mistake, you know, so I will, I'll see in the next printing if they can't correct that mistake, because you just have to go page by page, but I see that prayer in front of me if you want me to read that. By the way, there is an audio book for this, so that you can get an audio book where I do pray the prayers.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounded like you had something else you wanted to say, and if you did, you go ahead.
No, that was just it. I found the prayer that you had asked about earlier, but it's a little bit lengthy, so I can pray the prayer in the hardest times if you like.
I think somebody needs to hear it.
Because I think a lot of people are in hard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, this is the prayer. A man of sorrows, as I watch the devastation and heartache in the lives of those around me, my spirit cries out, no, no, no. How can this be? How can you look on and allow such suffering? Why? I will stand at my watch and look to see how you will answer me. In the silence, I seem to hear your soft whisper echoing what you have said to me before when unexpected, unexplained crises have erupted. Your answer seems to be the same. Trust me when you don't understand. Oh, God, you've been our help in ages past. You're our hope for years to come, and you alone are our shelter from this stormy blast. You alone are our refuge and our strength. You're the good shepherd who will lead us safely through this valley of shadow. As I reflect on the one whom I'm asked to trust, my soul finds rest. You're my great high priest who understands. You're well acquainted with grief, suffering. So please, look on all those I love who are in pain, in fear for their future. Please, draw near to them. As they become more focused on the reality of their stark situations, I ask you to balance their feelings of devastation and loss with the comfort of your presence, your peace, your love. Wipe the tears from our eyes. Turn our faces to yours. Cause us to choose to look up, to look to you with trust. I pray this in the name of the one who has given his word. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Jesus. Amen. Mm.
Beautiful, Anne. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Have you identified maybe common hindrances to prayer? I mean, you did talk about distractions and such, but for the person listening today who's struggling, what are maybe some things that get in the way that they're not even maybe aware of?
Well, I think busyness has been a very large hindrance to prayer, which I think is one reason God allowed this COVID so that we're all locked into our homes, you know, and my state is still locked down. And that's not been such a bad thing. It is bad in many ways, but at the same time, it's given us time to just stop being so busy. And I believe so that we could look up and spend extra time with Him. I've never been so consistent in my prayer time. I've never had as much time. I don't have to look at my watch because I'm not packing up to leave. I'm not running around. I'm just right here. And I've never been busier. I've done a lot of work, but at the same time, I've had time, extended time with the Lord. So I think busyness, and then of course the Scripture says that if you regard sin in your heart, the Lord won't hear you. And so if we have unconfessed sin that we're toying with or tolerating, it can be a habit or an attitude or an action, you'll hinder your prayers if you regard sin in your heart. So that's one reason we need to go through that confession. Now, there are four elements in the prayers that I mentioned. One is worship, second is confession, third is thanksgiving, and fourth is intercession. And I believe we need to spend time in confession. It's the one element that seems to be lacking in so many of our prayers, where we don't come clean before God. We're not transparent before Him. And I think one reason we don't see our sin. We're so superficial. And I'm right there, because God, He had to really jerk me up several years ago to show me that I was so superficial, I didn't think I had any sin, and then He just showed me sin after sin after sin in my own life. And actually, I put a list of sins in the back of this book that just helped people perhaps spot some sin in their life that they had not seen. And because we need to confess that we can be cleansed, that we can be filled with His Spirit, that we can be prepared then, of course, to intercede for other people.
Well, I don't remember what that passage is. I don't know if it's 1st or 2nd Timothy or where it is, but it talks about if you remove the dishonorable within you, if you remove the useless stuff within you, you become a spokesman, a vessel fit for honor. And there is something about that. I mean, you know, wasn't it Paul who said, you know, my conscience is clear, but that doesn't even mean I'm innocent. And I just so agree with you. It's like, we don't know the presumption. We don't realize the entitlement until we pause and ask the Lord. And I think it's a scary prayer to pray, because He will show you. But somehow we've got to reject the enemy's condemnation, but accept the Lord's correction. Wow.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Susie. I'm a bad one to just sort of agree with verbally, you're exactly right. And I believe that repentance actually is a gift from God. And I know that time that I went through of just, He just raked me over the coals. It was His Spirit just came down, and I couldn't do anything but get on my face and weep and repent of my sin. And so that's what I'm praying for the church today, you know, that His Spirit would fall and come down and bring us to that point that we would see and acknowledge and confess our sin, and that we could repent, rend our hearts, not our garments, not be superficial with the way we confess sin. Pray that He would hear our prayer and forgive us and heal the land as a result. In other words, it seems to me that God's people stand in the gap for the nation, that if we don't get ourselves right with God, then there's no hope for our nation.
Somebody give me an amen. You know, I want to do a show, a repentance show sometime. I'm not sure if it'll go or not, but where I just open up the phones and people call anonymously and we just pray prayers of repentance and have songs of worship, but just a time of just solemn repentance and seeking God. I might be the only one, but I could fill an hour if I needed to. But, you know, and I remember talking to you a number of years ago, and you talked about when Israel became a nation, it was the same month that you were born, if I remember. Remember,
yes,
right?
Yes, and, within a week,
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. May, was it 1948?
Yeah, good for you. So I was born May 21st, 1948. Israel was reborn May 14th, 1948.
Wow. Ben, we talked about, this was years ago that you and I talked about this, and you said, I want to say it was probably 7 years ago, and you said, I don't know. I want to paraphrase you the right way because I don't remember exactly, but you kind of predicted. You said, there is a day coming, and I believe it's in my generation, where things are going to escalate like birth pangs, one on top of the other. And here we are. I mean, really.
Here we are. Here we are. And Jesus actually said that he gave us the signs of his return in Matthew 24, and there are other places in Scripture also, but those are the most familiar. And then he said they're like birth pains when they increase in frequency and increase in intensity, and that's what we're seeing. It's accelerated at almost warp speed. So, you know, Susie, I look up, and I'm just waiting any day for that sky to unfold and the trumpet to blow and Jesus to just catch us up in the air to live with him forever. So I want to live my life so that when that moment comes, I'm not ashamed, that I won't have any regrets. And I know we'll all have some regrets, but from this moment forward, I want to live with abandonment. I want embrace the Lord, all that he has for me, be used for his glory, so that when I see him face to face, I'm not ashamed. I have something to show for the life that I live down here on earth.
Thank you, Lord. You seem fearless. Is fear something you've just not really battled? Or I just hear that a lot from folks because of like what's coming for Christians and how will we stand? Do you ever battle fear, or do you really just that's not an issue for you?
No, certainly we can all be afraid, but I think one thing that helps you overcome it, if you just go for it. You know, so a long time ago, I decided that I would speak the truth as God revealed it to me, and it didn't matter if people received it. It didn't matter, you know, a lot of people on national secular interviews or, I know, being invited to the White House and speaking to the president, others, they want to be very careful because they want to be invited back. And I decided a long time ago, I don't care if I'm invited back. I just want to be used of God at that moment and speak the truth, in love, of course, but to speak the truth. And so once you start doing that and people know that you're identified with Jesus, that you're not afraid to back down, that you'll present the gospel. I remember Larry King saying, Ann, you're not one of those who believes Jesus is the only way to God. And I looked right at Larry King, the first interview I'd ever done with him, and I said, Larry, I'm not smart enough to know how you get to heaven. All I know is what Jesus said. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one will come to the Father except they come through me. And so I think you overcome fear by just doing it scared. And then you over time are less scared, but he can put you in some places that can really be, you know, frightening. But at the same time, I don't go by my feelings. I just pray that he'll keep me strong enough to stand on my feet, my knees knocking, my heart beating, and just enable me physically to stand and speak whatever he puts on my heart.
All right, friends, somebody needed to hear that today. So you heard what Ann said. Go for it. Go for it. We're going to pause here talking to Ann Graham Lotz. I just know that was it was for me for sure, but I think it was for somebody else. Why don't you let me know if it was for you as well? 877-933-2484. You can text me. Also, Ann's book, beautiful, amazing book, The Light of His Presence, Prayers to Draw You Near to the Heart of God. We're going to leave the drawing open for even about 15 minutes after the live show. But text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. More conversation with Ann when we return. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, having a powerful conversation with our friend Ann Graham Lotz, who's just released a beautiful, powerful book titled The Light of His Presence, Prayers to Draw You Near to the Heart of God. And each prayer is just so biblical, so strong and powerful. We're going to read a couple more, I think, before the end of the hour. But one of the things, and the fears I think that many are struggling with is just the comfortable life as we know it. It seems like it's gone. And so we ask God to protect us. But what we're asking maybe protection from is, I want to go back to my comfortable life. But we really did not influence the world very well in North America. We were vanilla. I mean, really. So, I mean, on one hand, I love what you said when I asked you about fear. Go for it. We're talking about standing up and aligning ourselves with Jesus. But we are being shaken, so that which cannot be shaken can be clearly seen. So we are going to be disrupted, and it's something we've got to sort through, isn't it?
You know, I don't know if we sort through it or we just submit to it. We can pray against it. You know, we can pray that God would give us peace in our time. But if he doesn't, you know, it's interesting, Susie, I'm old enough now. It's one of the things I love about my age. I can look back over my life and see things that God has done. And I have grown more spiritually in the hard times than when everything was going well. And so in the last 5 years, you know, finding my husband unresponsive in the pool, and then he went on to heaven, and then Daddy going to heaven, and the cancer that I was diagnosed with the follow-up surgery and chemo and radiation and all of that, the Lord has been so near to me, and I've grown stronger in my faith. I've never loved him more. I have an overwhelming sense of purpose that he's left me here for a reason, and I want to fulfill the purpose that he has me here for. So his purpose for you and me is not to be comfortable and healthy and wealthy and prosperous. His purpose for us is that we would bring him glory, that we would serve him to his glory, and be strong enough in our faith that we can draw other people to him. So, you know, I think the prosperity and the ease that we've had in this nation has not necessarily been a blessing from God, because we haven't used it to draw near to him. We've actually drifted from him. And so maybe, you know, although I don't want hard times, and I don't want hard times for my children or my grandchildren, I can tell you, but hard times also God uses to strengthen us. It's like when I was a girl growing up, would hike to the ridge in the mountains, and on the top of the ridge there were either trees that were lying broken or these great big huge trees. And I asked my mother, you know, why, and she said, well, it's because there's no barrier to the wind on the ridge of the mountain, so that trees either fall and are broken or they grow really strong under that kind of pressure. And I think that for us, you know, living in a difficult time, it may be what God uses to grow us into those who are strong in our faith and strong enough to impact others.
Wow. I mean, if we're all honest, we can point to our hard times. I mean, that's the school of suffering is where we get our best education, right? And I referenced this the other day, but I just got to say it again. It was interesting. I wish I could remember what old Bible scholar said it, but I read this quote that in the Old Testament, the sign of God's blessing seemed to be prosperity. In the New Testament, the sign of God's blessing seems to be suffering. Yeah. I thought that's very astute. Yeah, don't you think? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if you would read that one that I asked you about the nations, prayer for the nations. Do you have that one handy?
Yeah, I do, and it's a little bit lengthy, so I will read it, and if you stop me, I'll just stop, okay?
Okay.
But it's a prayer for national cleansing and revival.
Right.
And it begins, if you just want to pray with me. Most holy God, in a world of famine, floods, and fire, a world of disease, death, and disruption of our everyday activities, I choose to look up from my knees. I see you seated on the throne of glory, in control of all things, all things. I know that you are a God of mercy, grace, faithfulness, and loving kindness. So I reject fear and its impact on my life, and I place my faith in you. You have said that your ears are open to the cry of your people, that your eyes are upon us, and that your arms are long enough to reach us and strong enough to hold us. Hold me now. Quiet my racing heart. Breathe your spirit of peace into me to calm the fear and turmoil. Even as I pray for your peace, I wonder if the disasters erupting in our nation could be the spark that ignites a spiritual awakening. Are you trying to get our attention? I know that when it comes to our relationship with you, we desperately need to wake up. We have legalized defiance against your institution of marriage. We celebrate relationships that contradict your instructions. We exterminate life that you created and that bears your image for our own convenience. We have become so secularized, we don't even acknowledge that you exist, much less reverence or obey you. You have my attention. Therefore, like the prophet Daniel of old, I turn to you in humility and shame as I confess on behalf of America some of the national sins that come to mind. And would you like me to read these, Susie?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I confess national addiction to sex, to money, to pleasure, to entertainment, to pornography, to technology, to drugs, to alcohol, to food, to television, to popularity, to ourselves. I confess our foolishness in denying you as the one true living God, our creator to whom we are accountable, living as though our lives are a cosmic accident with no eternal significance, purpose, or meaning. I confess our greed that has run up trillions of dollars of national debt. I confess our arrogance and pride that has led us to think we're sufficient in ourselves. I confess to believing that our nation's prosperity comes from our own greatness, while refusing to acknowledge that all blessings come from your hand. I confess that we depend on our military might and our weapons systems to protect us from harm and danger, while we deny, defy, and ignore you. I confess that we have succumbed to the pressure of pluralism in our desire to be inclusive, honoring other gods as though you were just one of many. I confess that we've allowed the material blessings you have given us to deceive us into thinking we don't need you. I confess that we have valued our foolish pursuit of happiness through wealth and prosperity rather than treasuring our relationship with you. I confess that we have marginalized truth and mainstreamed lies. I confess that we have become one nation under many gods, divided and polarized, with license to sin and justice that no longer follows the rule of law. Holy Spirit of the living God, convict us of the need to turn from our sin and get right with you. Lord God, have mercy on us. As we repent of our sin and return to you, return to us. There is no one like you to help the powerless against our mighty enemies, be they visible or invisible. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you. Once again, I hold you to the promise you gave to King Solomon. You said, when I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers. I hold you to your word as I plead with you. Hear my prayer. Forgive our sin. Heal our land. I'm standing in the gap for our nation. I pray in the name of the one who is our deliverer, our beautiful and only Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, the living, reigning, soon to return, Lord of lords and King of kings, Jesus Christ. In his name and for his glory, I pray. Amen.
That was worth every minute. I mean, it's so earth-shaking. I mean, I've got just about a minute and a half left, but right now I just want to go step aside and get on my knees and spend some time with God. I mean, as you even list our nation's sins, those are our sins, and to have that time before God to say, and you look at some of the greats who interceded, Daniel, Moses, you know, Abraham, they put themselves in between the people and God, and they owned some of those sins, you know?
That's right. Daniel's prayer, which I love in Daniel 9, he used plural pronouns. We have sinned. We are shamed. You know, and he hadn't sinned that I could tell. He was a pretty remarkable man, but he confessed the sins of his nation as though they were his own.
Mm. Just got a moment left, but I'm wondering, Ann, how we can be praying for you.
Oh, well, you know, just pray that in the midst of everything that the Lord will keep me faithful. I want to finish my course. And I'm praying that I will be alive when the Lord Jesus returns at the rapture. But if he would take me before then, I want to finish all that he has for me. I want to fulfill his purpose for my life. So if they'll just pray that I'll remain sensitive to his spirit and filled with his spirit, and that he would continue to give opportunities for me to serve him, during this crazy time. Because I want to bring him glory in everything I do and say. So thank you, Susie, for asking. And I want to thank those who have prayed for my health, because I had my checkups last week and 2 years out from surgery, and I'm doing so well. So
praise God.
Thank everybody who's prayed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are such a treasure to us, and your impact for the kingdom cannot even be expressed. And I'm so choked up right now. And I just want to thank you for your time, for your kingdom conviction and who you are to us. We just bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susie. God bless you.
Great conversation. We'll leave the drawing open for Ann's amazing book. Every prayer is like that. Light of His Presence. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.